Good morning.
My name is, thank you. Good morning. In case you don't know me, my name is Bob, and I have the honor of being able to bring the word to you today. So it's a little bit about myself, if you don't know me. I'm married to a wonderful wife, Amy, who is actually going through some pretty significant health issues. So if you wouldn't mind praying for Amy during this time. She's not able to be here today because of that. But I do have with me Josiah, who is going to either make me or break me today based on the slides that he shows on the screen. And Judah here in front. And I have two older children, Tyler in Wisconsin, Tyler and Sarah. And their two boys, Jordy, Cam. I told him I'd give a shout out to him. Hey, guys. And then a daughter and son-in-law who are currently in Canada. They serve as missionaries in Nepal, and their two amazing daughters, Ainsley and Addie. Hey, Ainsley. Hey, Addie. I told them I'd let them see Grandpa on the screen. So each week we have been going through this series, and Pastor Kyle has written a prayer for us. So could we all pray this together this morning before we start? God, you are holy and in control. Thank you for giving me all that I need in Jesus. Help me to ask what I can do for you, what you can accomplish through me. Help me to be willing and available for you to use. Okay, so if you heard this, what would it remind you of? Star Wars, there you go. Good job. Star Wars fans out there? Several? Okay. How many of you have seen like every movie? Watched The Mandalorian? All in? How many of you have costumes that you wear to special Star Wars gatherings? I was like, sweet. Okay, and then if you heard this, who would this remind you of? Darth Vader. And for all you little children who are now freaked out, I'm sorry. His birth was surrounded by mystery. Some would even say it was miraculous. And from a young age, people could see that he was different. He was gifted. He was destined for greatness. He grew up with unmatched strength and power. Everyone expected him to lead and to rescue his people from oppression, to bring hope where there was despair. But pride crept in. Anger simmered beneath the surface. He let his emotions guide his decisions, and slowly, almost imperceptibly, he drifted from the path that he was supposed to be on. He was seduced by things he couldn't control: temptation, relationships, revenge. His choices compromised his calling. And over time, the hero became a warning. The deliverer became a cautious tale. He fell from greatness, bound, broken, a shadow of who he was meant to be. But that wasn't the end of this story. At the very end, blinded and humiliated and seemingly beyond redemption, he turned back to his purpose. With one final act of surrender, he fulfilled the mission he was born for. And his name? Samson. Samson, this is a story that, this is like a movie box office hit, if you've ever read it. It's amazing in just a, it's pretty crazy. Definitely PG-13. But it's not a fictional character from a script of Star Wars, but rather it's a real person from the scriptures of the Word, the Bible. And Darth Vader and Samson, they've got this parallel thing going on. Both chosen, both powerful, both fall. But in the end, despite their brokenness, they were both used by God, or in Anakin's case, the Force. And the stories remind us of a powerful truth, that God works through mistakes, not just in spite of them, but through them. God works through mistakes, not just in spite of them, but through them. And Samson's life was a rhythm of mistakes, but God still used him to fulfill his purpose. So Samson's story begins at his birth, and Israel once again had done evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they were under Philistine oppression. And God responds not with anger, but with a plan. And he sends his angel to a woman, and he tells her, it says this in Judges, "In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah, and his wife was unable to become pregnant. They had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, 'Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So be careful. You must not drink any wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines.'" You know, I think this is one of those sit-down conversations. Manoah's wife's like, "Hey, Manoah, you may want to sit down for this, because I was in the Brookshire's parking lot, and I bumped into this person, and they said that I'm going to get pregnant." And maybe Manoah's like, "Okay." But then the angel, she kind of drops some parenting advice on her. "Hey, I've got this thing I want you to do. Don't ever cut your boy's hair, because he's going to be a Nazirite." So I'm wondering if anyone here has ever been a Nazirite. Jake's got some stuff going on here. Are you you starting a Nazirite vow? No, okay. A Nazirite is someone who takes this special vow to be set apart from the Lord. And to be a Nazirite, you can't drink alcohol. You can't touch a dead body, human or otherwise. And you can't cut your hair. Now, this vow, it could be temporary. It could be long-term. It symbolized your complete dedication to the Lord. So maybe sometimes today, like, we could fast for a period of time, or we could go on a spiritual retreat. This is a little bit more than that. I don't know that we have a lot of these types of examples today. Maybe a priest in other religions who set aside their life, they dedicate, and they're abstinent for their life, something like that. Now, just in case you were wondering, I'm not a Nazirite, and I'm pretty sure that Pastor Kyle is not a Nazirite either. But this actually, this is what I looked like 25 years ago when Amy and I met. You think I'm kidding? I thank my son and AI for that. But actually, I think this is what attracted Amy to me in the first place, but she still loves me. Okay, but for Samson, God was intervening. That's off the screen, right? Okay, God was intervening even before his birth. His mother received specific instructions: no dead body, no razor, no alcohol. He was chosen. Samson was set apart. He wasn't ordinary. His very existence was the answer to oppression. He was destined to deliver his people, the Israelites, from the Philistines. And that's what we see. It's so interesting in Star Wars, Anakin Skywalker. The Jedi believed that he was the chosen one, born without a father, unusually gifted, marked for greatness. Both stories begin with this great potential. Now, you may not have had an angel appear to your mother, but you have been chosen too. You were created on purpose, with a purpose. God has a calling on your life, even if it might be hard to see right now. God has a calling on your life. But Samson, he didn't steward his strength well. He had power without submission. His strength came from God, but he treated it like it was his own. First, he married a Philistine woman. So he was supposed to be set apart to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines, but he married a woman from a Philistine woman. It says, a young Philistine woman in Timnah caught his eye. "I want to marry her," Get her for me, he told his father. His father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry? They asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good in my eyes. And then he touched dead things, also part of his Nazarite vow. He was on his way back from Timnah, and a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. And at that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did this as easily as if it were a young goat. Now, I'm sure some of you are like, oh, it's not that hard. I've done that before. But later, when he returned to Timnah for his wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. And he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass, and so he scooped some of the honey into his hands, and he ate it along the way. Been there, done that, right? He touched a dead body. He also partied with the Philistines. It says, as his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party, a bachelor party, so to speak. Probably served more than sweet tea there. And at Timnah, as was custom for elite young men. So again, defying his Nazarite vow, that separation. And every time that God gave him victory, it seemed like he used it for personal revenge, not for national deliverance. At one point, after Samson had essentially left this woman, left his wife, he decided to go back to her. But when he got to her home, his father-in-law said, well, I let her marry your best man. This is good stuff. So Samson rounds up 300 foxes, ties their tails together, and sticks a torch in them. We've all done that. And Samson releases the foxes, who in turn go burn all the Philistine grain fields. Well, this upsets the Philistines. And so they end up killing Samson's wife, or his best man's wife, and his would-be father-in-law. And so Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I swear I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. Acted like this. He just went and burned down all their grain fields, but he's like, you killed my wife, so I'm going to get back at you. He lived by impulse. What he wanted, he took. Anakin broke the Jedi codes. He married in secret, and he gave in to fear and to anger and the desire to control. And slowly but surely, he became Darth Vader, a cautionary tale of what happens when our strength isn't submitted to the Lord. Samson had long hair and raw strength. Anakin had the lightsaber and the force. But you know what? Neither had surrendered hearts. Neither had surrendered hearts. So I wonder, what's your strength? Is it leadership? Is it intelligence? Is it experiences in life? Is it education? Maybe it's being able to just sit and be with people in need. See, God's gifts need guidance, and talents need surrender. And often we might talk about, well, I don't know what my calling is in life. Or I don't know what my purpose is in life. You know, I've got a really simple answer. At the end of the book of Matthew, in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Another way to say it is, in your going, tell people about me and invite them into the family of God, and then help them to learn to look like Jesus. So it's in your going. This is our call in life. This is our purpose. It's so simple. So as we go through life, this is what we were called to do. We don't have to search for anything else, but we need to steward that. There was a time, long time ago, when I wasn't walking with the Lord. And so I was at a parade in a town in Wisconsin, and I don't think this happens here. Every town had a festival and a parade. And so there was usually a bands in this parade and some floats. And there was also every politician within like 1,000 miles showed up at these parades. And they would hand out little things. Usually they were like magnets of the Green Bay Packers and Wisconsin Badgers schedule. So something, I actually have some in the back in case you, no, I'm kidding. You wish you had those. But there was also churches and things that would walk through, and someone handed out a flyer of a church service on Saturday night. And for whatever reason, I kept it with me and I threw it into the junk drawer at home, probably because I had the Packer schedules in there. But a couple years later, I was in that drawer for something, and I was really going through a searching period in my life, and there was that flyer. And I took it out, and here I am today. And so somewhere, someone had the gift of time to be able to walk through that parade. Now, they could have stood on the sidewalk and watched it, but they had their gift of time, and God used that guidance. He gave them that guidance, those talents, and they surrendered. Amazing things God can do. So sometime later, we go on with Samson's life. After visiting a prostitute, so sometime later, he falls for another woman, another Philistine woman, and her name was Delilah. And the Philistine rulers end up bribing Delilah to the secret of Samson's strength, his hair. And after toying with her every time she asked about it, Samson finally gives in to Delilah, and he shares the secret. He tells her everything. And he says, "My hair has never been cut," he confessed, "for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else." So you see what happens when you cut your hair? Now, it really wasn't his hair. This was about a final rejection of God's purpose, the purpose he was born for, his complete dedication to God. And the final chapter is heartbreaking. He's burned, he's dismembered, trapped inside a machine, and Anakin is a shell of him, of his former self. And the final chapter is heartbreaking. Samson gives in to Delilah. He reveals his secret. His hair is cut. The spirit leaves. The Philistines capture him. They blind him, and they put him to work grinding grain in prison. Kind of ironic that he sent the foxes into the field to burn all their grain fields, and now he's actually grinding grain for them. He's humiliated. He's powerless. He's defeated. Final chapter is heartbreaking. Also redemptive. It's also redemptive. Samson is brought before a crowd in a pagan temple. He's blind, but he prays. And for the first time in a long time, he talks to God. It says, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes.'" And even though once again, Samson's motive in the prayer was revenge. "Help me to get back at them for my two eyes." God hears and God answers. See, because God works through mistakes, not in spite of them. It says, "Then Samson is placed between these two pillars of the temple. And then Samson puts his hand on those two pillars that held up the temple. And pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people." So he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. And in his death, he fulfills his mission. Anakin, one final moment of clarity. Luke pleads with his father to turn back. And in the end, he does. He throws the emperor into destruction. He saves his son, he finds redemption. And Samson, in his death, finally does what he was born to do, to begin to deliver his people, Israel. Because God works through mistakes, not just in spite of them, but through them. Neither ended perfectly, but both ended in purpose. The failures weren't final. God worked through their mistakes. God doesn't give up on broken people. He works through mistakes, not just in spite of them. Through God's story of Samson, God shows us that we are not disqualified by our past. You are not disqualified by your past. Even if it's just drifted a little, like, I just don't pray anymore, and I don't know. Or you've drifted a lot, and you are a long way away. God has not turned his back on you. If Samson can fall that hard and still be used by God, we have a lot of hope. And we also see that your greatest strength need God's direction. Your greatest strengths need God's direction. Don't wait until everything falls apart. Don't try to do it on your own. Men, don't try to do it on your own. Don't wait until everything falls apart. Surrender your strength to God now while there's still time to live in purpose, on purpose. And we also see that there's always a path to redemption. There's always a path to redemption. Whether it's this quiet prayer like Samson's or a dramatic turn of events like Anakin's, God receives every heart that turns back to him. You're never too far gone for God to say, I can still use you. God works through our mistakes, not just in spite of them, but through them. And think about what could have done. Now, this is a movie, but think about Anakin, had he stayed faithful to the light. But really, what if Samson had followed God with humility? How much more good could he have done? What if we follow God with humility in the strengths that God has given us, in that calling? What if we stop running from that calling and start stepping into it, even in our weakness? I can't do that. I'm too nervous. Whatever it is. We don't have to be strong. We just have to say, like Samson, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just this one more time. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that you don't leave us in our mistakes, and you give us second chances, and you strengthen us time and time again if we only call out to you. And I want to ask you, Holy Spirit, today, that you stir in the hearts of people. If there's someone here today that has never surrendered, I ask you personally, do not leave here if the Holy Spirit is stirring, because Satan likes to snatch that feeling the moment you walk out the door. Don't give in. Just fall in to the Holy Spirit's calling. Oh, Sovereign Lord, give us strength that we may do your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name.